The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Climate change has been a pressing issue, not just in Singapore, but really, it's worldwide.
Indeed, many countries around the world taking measures to prevent and slow down climate change. And Singapore, of course, is also doing its part in this.
Especially for an island like Singapore. You know, we're surrounded by water. And if you think about it, climate change means rising sea levels at the end of the day really affect our shores.
Yeah, and according to Minister for the Environment and Water Resources, Masagos Zulkifli, Singapore will be using nature-based solutions to deal with sea level rise.
I'm very interested to find out how will the nature-based solutions help curb sea levels from rising. You'll remember in the last and most recent National Day rally, our Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong said that Singapore Malays are distinct from their regional counterparts with a unique identity in the way the community practices Islam and emphasizes education.
Yeah, the Malay Muslim community in Singapore has definitely come a long way, but let's ask what's next for the community right here in Singapore.
We have with us in the studio this morning Masagos Zulkifli, Minister for the Environment and Water Resources and Minister in Charge of Muslim Affairs. Good morning, Minister Masagos, and thank you for taking the time this morning.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me here.
Great to see you.
Climate change. This is like your baby. It's a huge thing, not just in Singapore, but around the world. At the start of the show, I asked, we're such a tiny island, Singapore. What can we do to combat climate change?
Well, climate change is something that will affect everybody. So it's not just something that we in Singapore should be worried for ourselves alone, but we have to think about how to, together, rally everybody to take enough action to turn the tide, so to speak, and so to make sure that our planet will survive.
You talk about doing this together. Do you feel that Singaporeans are realizing the importance of doing something together now?
I would say that after PM's speech and the National Day rally, the awareness about climate change has certainly increased tremendously. But more importantly, they now understand better what it means and how it will impact Singapore.
Yeah, it's not something trendy anymore. This is really serious stuff.
I've met people who are actually really alarmed because when PM described how graphically, Singapore or a third of Singapore could be underwater in a huge storm surge to go high tide and sea level rise, that really woke everybody up.
Yeah. Minister Masagos, curious question. You talked about how nature can help with climate change. How would this work?
Well, climate change and sustainability issues of our time and has redefine how we need to run government, produce policies, and even force producers to rethink about how they produce things. So even in Singapore, I will give you one example where water is concerned, for example. We can produce water through desalination. That's no magic. In the past, we just boil water.
Yeah.
Today, we use reverse osmosis, which means that we force water through some membrane, and then the water comes out clean. Those are almost intuitive. But nature shows us there are also better ways to do it. For example, there's something called biomimetics, where we know fish use certain proteins to filter seawater to get fresh water within themselves. And they do that at the lowest energy possible. And that's what nature gives us. And because of this, and the research that we're doing in our laboratories, we have found that we can now use theoretically this method to desalinate our water at less than half the energy we do today. So that's really promising. I've already seen our laboratories lining up these synthetic proteins in our membranes. And guess what? If we can do it right and we can scale it, not only will we benefit and use less energy and therefore less carbon footprint, we can export this technology.
So we mentioned, Minister, that the Prime Minister in the National Day rally speech talked extensively about this. You know, obviously the awareness is increasing, like you said, and you've already given us some examples of how Singapore is tackling the issue. Where would you say we are on progress and where do we go from here?
We definitely have a plan, and the plan comes in two parts. One is mitigation, which means what can we do as a government, as people, and externally with other partners to reduce the greenhouse gas emission.
Sure.
And on the other hand, what should we do in the event, an inevitable event, that the worst parts of climate change come upon us? And for Singapore, that would be sea level rise. And that's called adaptation. So the kind of things that we do for both of these will make an impact, some for ourselves, but more also what we contribute to what everyone in the world is doing together.
Minister Masagos, you can't help but think that for leadership to tackle climate change is a very long-term planning. Is there a short-term plan? What's the most immediate thing that the government's looking at?
I think the most impactful thing that we can do for that is to try and produce or to transform the way we live, a cultural change. And that goes through some little small things that we have to make adjustments for. Let's use less plastic bag. Let's not use PET bottles for our water because PUB water is so clean, you can get it off the tap. Let's use our clothes for as long as possible. Don't think that it can always be recycled because fabrics, shoes, they don't get recycled. They cannot get recycled very easily. And therefore, sustainable consumption is the way to go. I'm glad that many of our young are into this. They don't want to use plastic bottles. They carry their own reusable utensils. And they are very much aware of this. So we just have to adjust the way we live. We don't have to be hermits. We don't have to live as ascetics. Just wind down a little bit.
I wondered a bit about that because, I mean, and I think a lot of our listeners would agree, everywhere you go, and particularly, you know, you go to a hawker centre, there's still a lot of plastic being used in places like this. But, you know, I noticed recently going to see a movie that there is a public information campaign. So what sort of other initiatives are there out there to encourage people to use less plastic and to be more environmentally friendly?
Well, NTUC, for example, has introduced a scheme where if you don't take the plastic, you get incentives, or if you want the plastic, you have to buy some extra cost to put your groceries in. We have to be pragmatic about it because in Singapore, our plastic bags particularly are used to bag our trash. That's not a bad thing because if you don't do that, then we have other problems. We will have pests in our chutes, and our chute will corrode much faster. And then we put all this together and incinerate them. And before the exhaust comes out, we actually scrub them so that even the most dangerous gases that are like dioxin, that's cancer-causing, they get suppressed. They don't go out. So we have engineering solution for this. So we are mindful of the environment. However, the only real way to reduce the amount of pollution and or gas greenhouse gas effect is to use less bags.
Right.
And unfortunately, many of us take more bags than what we need. So those are the kind of things, adjustments in our behavior that we can do to make a big impact.
Yeah, all the double, triple bag.
Yes. And sometimes the aunties are really helpful.
So what about food waste? Because Manisha talked about being at a hawker center. I mean, we see it all the time.
Yeah.
Is there a way to deal with this?
Well, food waste is one very interesting area of solutioning. We used to think about waste in a way humans do. I mean, just dispose it, treat it or something. But nature does not have waste. Waste is a human concept. So food, for example, could be used in many ways. Before they expire, we could get them to places where people need them. But even after they expire, you can actually process food for energy, for compost, for nutrients, things that we can use before they decay and become unusable. By 2025, we will be co-digesting food with sludge or wastewater, and we will be producing 3 times more biogas than doing it separately. This technology or this vision is so compelling that PUB actually won an award last week in Dubai for coming out with such scale and with such implementation of food waste processing.
I mean, on that note, I mean, winning an award for this over in Dubai, is there a hope also that Singapore will become a hub for this kind of technology in the future?
Absolutely. Where we want to replicate the success that PUB has made for Singapore, making us famous for our water solutioning, and then making that also a solution in the face of climate change for our other areas of experimentation that will involve environment, waste management, as well as food production.
How do you feel that the Malay Muslim community has evolved over the years?
I would say we've been very fortunate because for the longest time, even before we became independent, our religious leaders, our community leaders, as our political leaders, have always been on the same page. And I think because we are aligned on what is good for the community and what is good for the country, we have been able to make many adjustments, whether they come from religious leaders, community leaders, as well as political leaders, to ensure that as we progress, we also are consistent with what we like to live as Muslims and Malays in Singapore.
Minister Masagos, that's the thing about being in Asia, isn't it? It's all about values. If you could really drill it down to the values of the Malay Muslim community, what are these values?
Well, the character building is part of what religion should be about. And this is the primary concern of our religious leaders. And what they have taught us is that Islam must be practiced, understood in the context of the time and place where it is. And I think this has helped us a lot. Because if we were to take instructions or to look at Islam from a just historical or from places where they are practiced as a majority, many of the kind of things that we want to do or we want to emulate will not be relevant, if not actually be will be very disruptive in Singapore. And because that stand is also taken by our religious leaders and through an institution like MUIS, has been able to corral them, unite them, and to put them together on the same page. So although our religious leaders may have studied all over the world, when they come back and understand the context and readjust what they teach to our adherents here.
Still Singaporeans at heart in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is my next point. So interestingly, the Malay Muslim community in Singapore has its own distinct character, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think this is something that's been praised even by the Sheikh Al-Azhar when he was here in Singapore. He said, Singapore Muslims are actually a model for minorities around the world to understand why they have to produce their own scholars and be confident that the instructions and guidance given by these scholars are actually good for them.
But apart from that, how else would you say our community here, our Malay Muslim community here, is distinct from our neighbours, Malaysia, Indonesia? Kind of similar, but how are we different?
So while religion is very important and central to our character, and that also is why many Muslims, after they become more successful, they do give back. And that's part of our culture and our religious teachings. Two other things are very important to give Malay Muslim our distinctive identity. And they are competency, what you bring to the table. And you do that through education. And Mendaki has a lot of contribution in that. As well as citizenry, which means that character, competence, as well as citizenry coming together make the Malay Muslims unique and a unique proposition as a minority. On one hand, we are unique in the way we are and the way we are proud to be. But on the other hand, we are also contributing and are with every Singaporean. So this is how diversity works in Singapore. So we are allowed to be diverse, we are allowed to be different, but we know where the common spaces are and where we must be with each other.
What would you like the trajectory of the success, the prosperity of the Muslim Malay community in Singapore to be in the future?
Look, I think wherever we land, wherever we are going, we must always hold on to these three basic principles. Don't forget who we are, because our character makes us unique. Our culture makes us unique. Do not abandon that. In the process, we must not think that progress and success comes from the sky. We have to work for it. And in Singapore, fundamentally, that comes through education and lifelong learning and keeping up your skills up to date. And at the same time, don't forget we are in this together. Mm-hmm. This is a very precious piece of land, a precious model that all of us are proud of and want to defend. And we like to show the world that, hey, come here, look at us, maybe there's something you can learn.
So you would say we're pretty much in the right direction then?
I think we can be quite dignified to say that.
So I'd like to put you on the spot with a personal question. This is a topic I've heard you talk about several times, and I know you're very passionate about it. So on the note of passion, what's the one thing you're most proud of personally with regard to the Malay Muslim community here in Singapore?
I think this is the sense of self-determination, that we want to be what we want to be and not let others tell us. Not even our political leaders can prescribe to us what we should be. We decide that ourselves. And because we come to this realization, what is good for us is also good for the country and vice versa, we have been able to live harmoniously with others, respectfully. And unlike in many places in the world where Muslims fight within each other just because they have differences in the way, in their ideology or the way they practice, it doesn't happen in Singapore. In fact, in many places, the Shias pray in Sunni mosques, and we are none the wiser. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they are. They don't bring out that differences among ourselves. In the same way, too, when we're in school, we're at work, these things don't come out because these are the common spaces where these things should not come out.
Food for thought this morning, huh?
Yeah, very much. But that's a beautiful reminder, actually, of, you know, the oneness of everything. And it reminds me that we started this conversation about climate change. We were talking about an issue that unites everyone in the world. And it's wonderful to talk about that unity in the community. And maybe we confuse those values to fight these problems that we all face in the future as well.
Absolutely. I always say that there are two things I wrote, in fact, this eulogy, so to speak, when Mr. Lee Kuan Yew passed away. I say that if you ever had a chance to decide to be born somewhere and you know you're going to be born a minority or poor, pray to be born in Singapore.
That is so true. As a minority, that is so true. Masago Zulkifli, Minister for the Environment and Water Resources and Minister in charge of Muslim Affairs, in the studio with us this morning. So thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.